Hiring is hard. What a bold way to open this podcast. You know, I think that statement really applies to both the recruiting side and the company side, obviously, but the candidate side as well. And from a candidate's perspective, there's so much guesswork and uncertainty that goes into applying for a job. It can be an incredibly stressful situation. And one of the things that's typically on candidates' minds when they're evaluating a company and opportunity is compensation. It's often not the only thing, but it's front of mind. And I am excited to spend today's podcast with the VP of Talent Acquisition for Enterprise Holdings to talk a little bit more about their journey in embedding compensation ranges in their job descriptions to set that expectation up front. And we'll be right back with that after a brief word from our sponsor. 21st Century HR is a podcast exploring how to build better businesses through modern people practices and approaches. It's brought to you by my firm, Amplify. Amplify provides HR executive search and strategic consulting services that help companies build better organizations. From employer brand development and execution to global talent strategies, Amplify develops custom solutions that help clients from Hootsuite to SpaceX optimize their recruiting capabilities. Amplify also hosts a new community for HR leaders called the Ecosystem. The Ecosystem was designed to bring modern HR leaders around the world together to share ideas, inspiration, and support. Learn more at amplifytalent.com. Hey everyone, welcome to 21st Century HR Podcast. I am your host, Lars Schmidt, and I am thrilled to be joined today by the Vice President of Talent Acquisition for Enterprise Holdings, Marie Artem. Enterprise Holdings has taken the unique approach of embedding compensation inside of their job description. So we're going to talk a little bit more about what led to that decision and what that journey has been like for them and what they've discovered from a candidate impact standpoint. So Marie, thanks so much for coming to the show. Why don't you take a minute and just introduce yourself for the listeners?
Hi, Lars. Thanks so much for having me and excited to be here. I have been with Enterprise for over 25 years. I started in the management training program that we get a lot of attention for, which is kind of right out of college, came in, learned to run the business, and then after a couple of years, took my way from that management role and sales role into the recruiting space. So I've spent a lot of my tenure in some way, shape, or form in recruiting, and for the last 16 years have been here at the headquarters where I oversee talent acquisition for the company globally.
Okay, interesting. So I guess before we get into comp ranges, let's just set the size of the scale of recruiting for listeners. How many people on average do you recruit and hire per year at Enterprise?
Sure. And just to understand, since Enterprise Holdings isn't probably a household name, we represent the Enterprise, National, and Alamo brands in the car rental and transportation world. And across those brands and across all the countries in which we do business, we are at about a little over 30,000 hires externally in a year. And that's a mix of nearly half of those are what I would call our professionals, both some experience as well as, entry-level professionals, and then a lot of support staff, as you might imagine, and then a seasonal component that goes along with our business.
Got it. Okay. And so for you, you know, what I'm curious to learn, kind of tracing the roots back in your decision to include compensation ranges in job descriptions, where did that come from? Walk me through kind of the early stages of that evolution.
Yeah, it's interesting because we started talking about it and even doing it to some extent before it became what I would consider maybe the hot topic that it is today. We, as an organization, we've always tried to really be transparent and open about our opportunities to make sure people understood kind of what the role was and what was going to, what to expect. And as part of that, over the years, we've really understood that, people want to know what you're going to make. They want to understand what a role like this looks like. So I mentioned I started in our management training program. That's our largest single professional role that we hire for. We'll hire over 8,500 into that role this year alone. And so when we're looking at that candidate pool that come from all different backgrounds, but, to understand an entry-level management program, what does that mean? And what is it, to me as a candidate, to me, as I look at my next career choice and my first one, and understood that that compensation and salary really do play a role into that. So we've always tried to be a bit transparent, at least in the hiring process. So our recruiters have always shared comp and different things along the way. It's never been something we wait till the end. And over the last couple of years, as we started to understand kind of what's the expectations of our audience today, you know, they have that expectation of that very transparent and open experience online. You know, they're able to go to a review site or somewhere else and see, you know, what is said about us and what, you know, what are the comp ranges that our current or former employees might be sharing. And so, you know, when we took that into account, we looked at it and said, there's got to be an opportunity for us to really just share this. What's the downside? And while there certainly was some hesitation that we can talk about, you know, we decided pretty early on that the best idea might be to at least get it into our job posting. So we didn't have a field for it. It was, you know, it was really just as part of the overview of what to expect with the role, we added in what you might expect to make and in your first year. And it started with just a couple of our operations were very decentralized. So we had a couple of operations who were looking to maybe increase the quality or increase the applicant pool that was qualified. And they felt that that might be a way to do it. So so it was really very grassroots to start.
Got it. And so when you began making the case, walk me through the, you know, the business case of you kind of taking that approach to leadership. And saying, you know, we've gotten sense that this is going to help us bring in more informed candidates. We want to broaden this and start adopting this across the organization. What was the initial response to that case?
So it was kind of what you just said. You know, I think to start, it was more around, you know, we felt that it would be an opportunity for us to test it and see if this did, you know, if that improved our, you know, our applicant pool, our quality of applicants, if it was a more informed and better candidate experience. So again, I good or bad, one of my favorite quotes is to ask for forgiveness versus permission sometimes. So right. We really did it at a local level first. Like I mentioned, we had some of our operations that were very willing to give it a try. So we gave it a try and then used that to help to sell it as we wanted to raise it up to be something we did more consistently and across the organization. I think, you know, from a candidate experience perspective, one of those operations was in the Pacific Northwest. And, you know, when we looked at, once they added that salary to their roles, we did see about a 30% increase in qualified applicants. Now, we can't say that that's immediately or always or just tied to adding that in, but obviously there was some type of impact that happened. And then obviously, candidate experience anecdotally was that people really felt good. They felt like they were informed. They felt good about the company. It made them trust or respect us a bit more. So those were all things that we could take then and bring to the organization. And honestly, one of the reasons that we got the buy-in in addition to, you know, those stories of success was also that at the same time, Google for Jobs was kind of bringing out the whole idea of salary and how it would impact adding that into your schema, having that as part of your posting process. So it gave us just another layer of business case behind it.
Got it. And what, you know, as you began to scale this practice, right, you're kind of out of the pilot phase and you're now starting to use it org-wide. What was the response from hiring managers?
Yeah, I think the biggest resistance that we had was that we had our hiring managers and our leaders, you know, they were concerned as you can imagine with, you know, our competitors are going to know what we pay. They're going to, you know, are we giving away too much? Is it too, you know, too public? And, you know, is that a negative for us in the process? And, you know, I think the way that we address that and, you know, the way I look at it is that this, and today, your competitors already know that. There are plenty of places to find that information. That information is going to be out there whether you're a part of that conversation or not. So why don't we make the decision to be proactive in it and show that we can make a positive impact by making sure that what we're putting out there is accurate and that we make it just a part of the conversation and be able to tell the story that goes around what goes with that compensation and everything else that happens with the role. So, you know, I think it was almost a similar feeling to if you go back a few years before, and the same leaders being concerned with a social media presence and some of the other things like that.
Yeah. And so in terms of the ranges themselves, how do you determine what those ranges are? Do you work with a kind of in-house compensation team? Do you do external benchmarking? Like, where do you land on the ranges, particularly because they're kind of all inclusive from a total cash comp standpoint?
Yeah. So we do both. And it depends on the role. You know, again, as I mentioned, we're really decentralized. So to use that management training program for an example, you know, market by market, that's, market by market, it's going to vary. So, you know, our management trainee position is going to pay the same no matter what your background for, so in example, the Chicago market, but it's going, you know, that comp is going to look different in LA or in Des Moines, Iowa. So, but they, again, they're all transparent. So we had to post it and really we assess what that comp will look like, based on a market by market level, but then we post it at that market level so that it is, you know, it's accurate to that actual position and not this broad range that depending on where you are in the country may or may not be as relevant. So we do use external benchmarks as well as with our internal comp team leading the charge to help us to really build out what the comps are for different roles. And so those are already set. And then we are somewhat conservative, I think, in our approach. We would rather be a bit conservative in what we share and know that, you know, that, and allow that to be, again, part of that conversation and be able to over deliver.
Got it. And does this approach around kind of comp transparency, does it apply to all jobs? So would it apply to corporate jobs as well?
So it is a work in progress on the corporate side. It applies to a vast majority of jobs. Most of our jobs are in the field. I would say nearly all of our field positions have the salary shared. Here, from a corporate headquarters perspective, we are still kind of a work in progress, as you can imagine. We, as a promote from within organization, we have external postings that come from here are usually relatively niche and high level. So there's a little bit more, I guess, sensitivity. So I cannot promise you that we've gotten there yet, but we are working on it.
And you mentioned some of the metrics around, you know, what you saw in, I believe it was Portland, and the impact of candidates and kind of quantity of hire once you start including compensation. What, you know, now that you've had a bit more time with the program, what are some of your initial kind of broader takeaways on the impact of both quantity and quality of hire once you started including compensation?
Yeah, I think we're still a bit anecdotal at that stage. So what, it was actually Seattle or Washington that did it, but same idea. And, you know, we have seen either a flat to increase in applicant flow, which if you look at some of the other components of how we measure, you know, that the pool with this market, it's that's actually really good. Staying flat is actually good today, let alone going up a bit. So I think that it helps us from that. Definitely, as we look at candidate experience, as we talk to the people that are in the process, that's where we're, you know, while not as scientific yet, that is where we know that it is a benefit. There's really no negative. We do also track those that have chosen to self-select out of the process because of comp. If you know, and those that get to a recruiter and then self-select out, those are starting to go backwards. And I think that's because it is transparent on the front end, and that's okay because we want to make sure that, you know, someone, again, it's the right thing for them as they start.
Right. Well, I think that's the idea, is when you're able to create mechanisms on the front end that essentially create more informed candidates. That's a good thing. It's not always about more candidates if they could easily opt out based on clarity on elements of the job. And comp certainly is one of those components. You know, I'm curious, when you hear detractors to this approach, you know, talk about why people shouldn't do this and some of the challenges, one of the things that often comes up is there can be internal backlash around having that level of visibility and awareness about their their peers' compensation. Have you noticed any of that since you've rolled this program out?
You know, I think we expected it. It certainly was something that was a concern and that we expected to happen, and we haven't really seen it. But I will put the caveat in there that at Enterprise, we're a bit, unique, in the way that we're structured and in the culture here. So it's as a company, we are very open and transparent, but specifically around comp, the vast majority of our team is paid based on performance. So, and that's tied to, P&L statements and bottom line. And so, all of those numbers are completely visible across the organization. So people know what each other make. It's never been it's not a place where it's hidden. I think that's helped us because I think that transparency has allows us to be, to take a little less of that backlash as a concern. So we haven't seen it, at least not in any way that hasn't been addressed on a maybe one-on-one situation.
Got it. And last question for you, Marie, if a TA listener or TA leader is listening to this podcast and they're contemplating, rolling this out in their organization or piloting it, what advice would you have for them? What, based on your kind of learnings and takeaways from going through this journey at Enterprise Holdings, what direction would you steer them in?
Yeah, I think, I think it's becoming more and more of a necessity as we compete in the marketplace, as we look at things like Google for Jobs. So I think, it's definitely something to keep the fight for. And when I look at it, I think a couple of things come to mind. There's one piece that to me is more your brand, and it's the component of who you stand for as a brand. What do you represent for us? That integrity, that openness, that piece of our culture and who we stand for as a place to work. This really kind of aligned with that. And so for us, it fits. So I would look at it not just from a business case of applicants or, even the competitive set, but also, what does it mean to your organization and what people think about working here and, think about being part of the team. So we really, I think the brand piece comes into play. And then just as you have those discussions and the communications, as you educate your leaders and your hiring managers, helping them to understand how this is a piece of it, helping them to understand that, again, that the information is already out there. So using data and information that's factual about what's already, what's on Glassdoor about what you pay, what's out there when you search on Google, because something's there. So how do we help to be a part of that conversation? And then how it only is a component of the overall story we tell. And then I think you hit it when you said pilot. I'm a huge fan of the pilot. Start small, find a leader or find a business that's more willing to try it. Have them be your advocates and then let them be your storytellers as it works out.
Great. Well, Marie, thanks so much for coming on and sharing your journey at Enterprise Holdings and your experience. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Lars.
Thanks for listening to this episode of 21st Century HR. If you want to hear more episodes like this or read stories from the 21st Century HR Fast Company series, go to 21stcenturyhr.com. And if you want to make your podcast just a little more awesome, be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, or whatever podcast platform your ears desire. You'll find all the subscribe links on the website. And if you enjoy the podcast, do me a favor and share it with your peers, your network, your boss, and your CEO. Help me get the podcast into the ears of anyone who wants to know what HR and recruiting looks like when done really well. They'll thank you for it, and so will I. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next episode.